Father, there are people in this room, there are people watching by way of live stream, Facebook Live. This word is going to impact and touch their lives. Father, speak a word. Do what only you can do. I'm nothing but a person. I can preach, but without your presence, it doesn't mean much. So come into this moment. Speak a word that will change everything, a word that will lift people out of their circumstances, a word that will shake the foundations so that bands can be loosed, so that prison doors can be opened, so that walls can fall. Speak a word, Father, that'll give revelation and bring light, give insight, inform people, direct people, encourage people, heal people, set them free by the power of your word. Do this, Lord, by your spirit. Move as you see fit. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, have your way in this place today. And as you do, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor as quickly as you can. Come on, smile brightly, big and bold. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Show them how cute you is. All that good stuff. And say, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, find somebody else behind you and say, magnify the Lord with me. You may be seated in the presence of the living God. I want to take you on a journey very quickly, and I want to take you to the setting to help you understand and to discover something that God has placed in my spirit about impact. And I want you to understand that impact has an engine, it has a structure, it has the capability of moving, but it can only move based on the structure that governs it. In other words, the impact that you're going to have is going to be governed by what you allow God to do on the inside of your life. You can't have impact on the outside unless God has had impact on the inside. You can't do what God has called you to do and see it manifest on the outside until the work that God needs to do within you happens on the inside. Most of what you see on the outside is the result of somebody giving in on the inside and allowing the Lord to change their heart and their mind and their soul state and their thought life. But more importantly, when all those things change, their vocabulary change. And when their vocabulary change, in other words, their language expands. And when their language expands, so do their experiences. Your language is going to be the direct result of what you experience. In other words, how you talk about it, how you speak about it, how you declare it, how you function in it. Do you talk about it positively? Do you talk about it negatively? We have stumbled across a scenario and a story in the book of Acts that would give Paul all the reasons to talk negative about what God is doing. It was in the nighttime that Paul had a vision to saw a man that was over in Macedonia. He was crying out that Paul needed to come over here. And it was from there that Paul realized that his entire ministry was about to change, that he was about to go into uncharted waters, that he was about to take new ground, that he was about to go into unfound territory. No one had ever gone into northern Greece the way that Paul was about to go into northern Greece, and he was about to go over there because he saw a vision, and in that vision he saw an individual, and that individual was saying, Paul, we need you to help us over here. It was Paul who decided at this very moment that he would begin to obey the Lord, and without hesitation, he begins to take a journey. He has with him Silas along with him, and Luke travels with him, as the text says, because the text says, we traveled over. And as they traveled over, they get over there. In the first place, they get over there into Macedonia, they get into Philippi. And when they get into Philippi, as it was Paul's custom, he wants to find a place to pray and a place to worship. He wants to find a synagogue because that was his base. Paul was very strategic. He didn't just jump out there and to go and to endeavor to do something big for God without having a strategy. He always used the Jewish synagogues as his base, as his foundation. And he would go there to worship and to pray and then begin to speak because he was a Jew. And as he would do that, then that would form a base for him. And as he would try to persuade some of those Jews, then he would go out and speak to the Gentiles. But it is here in Philippi that all of a sudden there is no synagogue. There is no place for him to do what he normally does. There is no synagogue for him to worship in. There is no base, no foundation. His strategy is being upset because business as usual always gets interrupted when God is taking you into another dimension. And so now all of a sudden what he normally does is not going to work because it's not even there. And so he discovers that there are a set of Jewish women that goes down by the water and they pray. And so he says, let's go down there and pray with them. And the Bible says he discovers a woman by the name of Lydia, who is the seller of purple, and she's down by the water. And the Bible says that she was simply a believer. She was a Gentile who converted over to Judaism, and she found purpose in that. And he began to talk to her about Jesus Christ, and she was converted at that very moment. And in stumbling past Lydia and going down there and being interrupted in what he would normally do and having the guts to step out of his normal framework because he believed in the vision that God showed him in the night hours, that there was going to be something different, a new strategy, a new territory, a new way of doing things, a new way of operating, a different way of speaking, a different way of being. You can't do what you normally do when God is about to make you or cause you to have great impact. You can't function as business as usual when you're about to have great impact. And so Paul realizes this, and without hesitation decides that he's going to go. Not only go, when he finds out that his normal strategy is being disrupted, that he can't do what he normally does, by finding a synagogue and going inside and having this time to worship and having this space to do something, that now he discovers there's just a set of women that's down by the water praying. And so Paul decides, I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna pray with them. And he finds Lydia and he begins to minister to Lydia, and Lydia receives Jesus Christ. And on his way back, he stumbled across a soothsayer, a young slave girl who's being used by merchants, who uses her as somewhat of a psychic to be able to tell people their future and so forth and so on. And the Bible says as he was passing by that Paul cast out a spirit of divination on the inside of her and didn't hesitate and just said, come out. And the spirit came out. And when the spirit came out, the Bible says that the merchants got so upset that they decided to make sure that Paul was going to spend the night in prison. And so they went to the powers that be, and they said, this man is causing trouble and he's hurting and affecting our business. He's disrupting the way that we do things. Can I parenthetically insert into your spirit, as you're sitting here silently listening to me talk, waiting for me to get to the point while missing the point, can I insert into your spirit that God is about to have you cause so much trouble for individuals who keep operating in business as usual? And your impact is about to disrupt markets. Your impact is about to disrupt business. Your impact is about to cause a paradigm shift in the way things are done, because there are people who are refusing to believe God and to trust God. And when he finds somebody that's willing to go just based on a vision, without having any details, when he finds people who are willing to go without having any details, without having a roadmap, you see, trusting God has to deal with him being able to show you something and you believe it like it already exists. God, I wish I had my voice. I don't have it. Look at your neighbor and say, he preaching right to me. You want a roadmap. You're not going to get one. You don't hear what I'm saying. What God wants you to do is take the first step and begin. As you take the first step, the path will begin to show itself once you begin to take the first step. Touch your neighbor and say, are you willing to at least take the first step? You're not even sure about that. You want, give me some water. You want a roadmap. You want God to lay it all out for you. It's not going to happen that way. Paul didn't have a roadmap. He all of a sudden has already had a couple of missionary journeys. Oh, God. And now all of a sudden, he gets a vision to go to a place he's never been to before, to go to an area where he doesn't even know if there are believers, if there is a base for him to operate from. He's just trusting the Lord at this point because it's built on the experiences that he's already had with God. You see, Paul has reconciled in his mind that God is for him, because if he wasn't for him, he would have been dead a long time ago. You got to reconcile in your mind right now. You can't wait, that God is for you. Oh, please touch somebody and say, guess what? God is on my side. And if the Lord is on my side, oh, what can man do to me? If God is, come on, I'm going to wake you up in the spirit this morning. If God is for you, pick your head up. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Wake your spirit up this morning and say, God is on my side. Oh, God. He's for me. He was for me when I was a sinner. He's for me while I'm saved. He was for me when nobody knew who I was. He was for me when I stepped into my purpose. He was for me when I was at my lowest point, and he pulled me out of the muck and miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. God is for me. He's for me. Even when I did the dumb stuff. Oh, can I talk to some people who did some dumb stuff? Even when I did some dumb stuff and tried to disrupt my own destiny, he just sat back and said, everything's going to be all right. I know how to make all things work together. Oh, God, who am I preaching to in here? I know how to reconstruct this thing. Paul went not knowing what the map was going to look like. He didn't know what was going to be over there. He didn't know what was awaiting him. He went looking for a synagogue because that's what he normally does. I got to find a place. I got to find a base. I got to find my peeps. Whenever God is about to make you have major impact and he's about to magnify it, he always removes you from your place of comfort. And when he removes you from your place of comfort, you don't have no more peeps. I wish I had somebody in here. You feel out of place and you feel misfit and you're so discomfortable that you want to go back, but you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. He has no roadmap. He's looking for a synagogue. He can't find one. He goes and finds women praying. And when he finds women praying, he finds Lydia. Lydia receives the Lord. That's an indicator to him that he's being called to the Gentiles. It's God trying to tell him, stop trying to do it the way you normally do it. Stop trying to go to the synagogue, Paul. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I know that's where your comfort zone is. I know that's what you know. I know that's what you're trying to link up to, but that's not where your greatest impact is going to be. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. Your greatest impact is going to be in the place that you feel the most uncomfortable going to. It's going to be in the spot that everybody tells you, don't go over there. Ain't nothing over there. It's going to be in the location that people are afraid to go out and seek because God gave you the vision and they don't have one. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, God, you don't hear what I'm saying. He goes and he tries to do what he normally does and he can't. He finds Lydia. Lydia receives the Lord. Why? Because God never will ask you to go into something new without giving you a new experience immediately as an indicator that you're on the right track. It's not that God wants you to go so blind, because faith is not really blind. It has eyes. It just has eyes in another dimension. Now, God, we walk by faith, not by sight. How can I walk by faith if my faith is blind? That means my faith walks and moves because I see something you don't see. I see it as evidence, like it's already there, and I'm walking in something that's not real yet, but every time I walk, it becomes more real than what it already was. Oh God, slap your name and say, take the first step, baby, take the first step. Every time you take a step, it becomes more real. Okay, I can't say that. He gives him an experience because God never requires faith beyond your last experience with him. And so he gives him an experience to let him know as an indicator, you're on the right track. Lydia receives the Lord, and now all of a sudden, there's a slave girl. Soon as there is some fruit, there is some chaos. Oh God, soon as there is some fruit, there is some calamity, there is some trouble. There is something that has to counter the fruit that has shown up in your life, because whatever God wants to let you know you're on the right track, it's now the enemy to meet that fruit with a problem to try to deter you from the direction that you're going. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So you get distracted because all of a sudden, soon as you get some fruit, here comes some trouble. The trouble is supposed to come. I got to get to where I need to go. The trouble is supposed to come. I'm going to say it again because you didn't shout. You ain't say amen. You ain't say nothing. The trouble is supposed to come. See, I got to correct a crack in your spiritual foundation. Your spiritual foundation is built on the premise that you're not going to have no trouble. Let me help you out. If you're going to have a magnified impact, you better learn how to deal with trouble. Slap your name and say, you're about to get a crash course in trouble, baby. I'm going to give you a quick crash course in trouble to correct the crack that's in your spiritual foundation. My Bible says, count it all joy when you go through different trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working patience, and patience is producing a perfect work in you so that you can become entire and complete and wanting nothing. Slap your name and say, crash course, baby. When you get into trouble, rejoice. Oh God, when all hell breaks loose, rejoice. When things go wrong, rejoice. When they tell you no, rejoice. Am I talking to anybody in here? Rejoice. Don't sit there and cry about it, get upset about it, and go back home. Do a party. Rejoice. Lose your mind. Laugh. Oh God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Have a praise break right in the parking lot when they deny you the promotion and when they deny you the opportunity, because that lets you know, oh God, I feel like preaching it here. It lets you know something. It's either going to let you know you got more work to do, which is a good thing, and it's also going to let you know that you're on the right track. The enemy does not bother with things that don't have impact. He will leave you alone and let you be. But the moment you start trying to step into your purpose, and the moment you start trying to really do what God called you to do, here comes trouble. Trouble shows up for Paul. Let me get it where I need to go. Trouble shows up for Paul. And when it shows up for Paul, watch me now. When it shows up for Paul, oh God, he does something incredible. They beat him, they flog him and Silas, and they throw him into prison. Lord have mercy, I stumbled across this about a month ago, reading this text. And I said, God, I've preached this so many times. I've heard it preached so many times. And at this point in my life, I am looking for significance. I'm not so much interested in what's going to make you shout. Because I've learned that the goal of my message is not to end in a dance. If you have not been changed, what good is your dance? It's okay if you're going to dance, but I want you to have some change, and I want your dance to be the result of a change that has taken place in your life. Watch this. So I often thought, man, midnight, you know, it sounds so wonderful, and we preach it from so many sides. It's a new day, blah, 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 blah. The day is over. The day switched. And that's great, and that's all well and good, but there's a deeper meaning and a deeper point here. Something is taking place and is transpiring in Paul's life and ministry that we're missing. And what we're missing is this. What is happening with Paul is nothing unusual. He's been in these predicaments before. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked, and he was in famines often, and he was in perils of the deep often, as was his own record, as he's telling people what he had to go through and deal with for the sake of the gospel. And he still comes out of it and says that it's for my good. He says, it's good that I was pressed on every side, and I was perplexed, but I wasn't cast down, and I wasn't forsaken, and I wasn't destroyed, so that the dying, that we can bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, what's being produced in my life is being produced in the way that makes people look at me going, how in the world did you make it out of that mess? How in the world did that happen? Why? How are you still here? How are you still going? Why are you still believing for that vision? So that the excellency of the power may be of God. You don't hear what I'm saying. And not of us. And as Paul is making that insertion, he's making that indication, in this particular sense, he's used to this difficulty. He's used to this trouble. But in this instance, it's the first place and the first time ever in this predicament that he decides to pray and praise. It's the first time, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's the first time that Paul, in this predicament, according to the Bible, that he inserts a strategy of praise and prayer in a manner to let everybody know everything is good. He gets into the prison, and the Bible says Paul and Silas begin to pray. And in that prayer led to worship. And as they began to worship, that all of a sudden, suddenly, my God, that was a great earthquake. It was Paul who was getting a revelation in his prayer and in his praise that God was producing something in his life that was going to far extend beyond the norm. In other words, he was realizing, I done took the first step. And because I took the first step, God is about to stand me up perpendicular to my purpose. And no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what prison I find myself in, no matter what shackles try to hold me back, I got a strategy and a tactic that can loose all of that suddenly. It doesn't matter if I start getting bound with depression. When I start praying and when I start praising, suddenly that stuff starts dropping off of me. It doesn't matter that they told me no, because when I start praying and when I start praising, that thing drops off of me. Oh God, who am I talking to? It doesn't matter what the doctor said, because when I start praying and when I start praising, oh God, I feel it in here. Slap your name and say, suddenly it's on the way. The moment you get the prayer out your mouth, the moment you open your mouth and give God a hallelujah, suddenly it's about to show up. The moment you begin to declare the goodness of the Lord, and I wish I had a church in here. Suddenly it's on the way. When you take the first step, God stands you up perpendicular to your purpose, and you get to enter into the dimension of suddenly. Somebody shout suddenly, suddenly. Suddenly, you got to be careful, because suddenly will bring something into your life that you're not ready for. Something in your life that's going to cause you to have greater impact. My God, I'm preaching in here. Suddenly shows up, and when it shows up, the church shouts, but we don't understand what suddenly is. Suddenly is a magnified impact. Suddenly is exponential growth. Suddenly is when you don't have your structure in place, that when it shows up, my God, your nets will break. That's why you got to be ready and prepared for suddenly. Slap your neighbor and say, suddenly is on the way. My God, when suddenly suddenly shows up, it fills all the house. When suddenly shows up, everybody gets blessed. When suddenly shows up, everybody gets loose. When suddenly shows up, everybody gets healed. When suddenly shows up, everybody gets set free. When suddenly shows up, everybody. Oh, God. Slap your name and say, suddenly, 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 suddenly. I dare you touch five people and say, suddenly it's here. Get ready, baby. Suddenly it's here. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly the earth shook. Suddenly you're going to get the deal. Suddenly you're going to get the promotion. Suddenly they're going to call you back. God, who am I talking to? Suddenly. When you take the first step, suddenly shows up. Suddenly is the next dimension where you have magnified impact. Oh God, Jesus. Suddenly is when God releases what he has for you, that if you're not ready for it, your nets will break. Suddenly is a very powerful thing. Suddenly is not suddenly. See, suddenly is not sudden. Suddenly is when you've taken the first step to trust God and you've locked yourself into a room waiting for something that God said he's about to send you. And you don't leave until it shows up. Suddenly is seeing a vision in the midnight hour and trusting God enough to go when you don't have a roadmap and still continue when your base is not even there for you to do the work. Suddenly, my God, is strategic. It's when you gotta wait with some patience to know that God has you on the right track and that you won't move from where God puts you no matter what trouble comes your way. Look at your neighbor and say, God is trying to find out if you're serious, baby. God, I feel like preaching in here. He's trying to find out if you are serious. We talk a good game, but at the end of the day, we ain't serious. Look at your neighbor and say, are you serious? I want it, Lord. Bring it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Let it rain, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. You ain't serious. Because the moment the trouble comes with the open heaven, you're going to be like, shut it, shut it, shut it, Jesus. Shut it. Oh, my God, I'm preaching way better. Y'all shouting. You don't want it. Look at your name and say, how serious are you? How serious are you? How serious are you? God, I'm preaching better. Y'all shouting. How serious are you? See, we find out how serious Paul is because when Paul starts implementing the strategy of praise and prayer and the doors open up and the bands are loose, he doesn't leave the prison. Look at your name and say, how serious are you? Do you have the spirit and the strength to sit in the trouble as long as it takes to rescue the people that God called you to? Do you have, my God, the strength in your spirit to stay where God called you? There was a man in his vision. Saying, come help me. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Oh God, there was a man in his vision from Macedonia saying, help me get out this mess. And Paul leaves and goes, and now he's in a prison because of him implementing something God told him to implement. So he's in trouble because he's obedient. Oh, touch your name and say, you ain't serious, boo. You ain't serious. Oh, hell done broke loose in his life because he trusted God. then had the temerity to sit inside the jail cell once his tactic of praise and prayer got everybody's bands loose when suddenly showed up. But Paul realized when suddenly showed up, it's not time for me to cut and run. It's time for me to show up and do what God has called me to do. Because in my vision, I saw a man saying, "Help me." And it is the jailer that shows up about to kill himself and runs to Paul and says, "Help me." God, I'm preaching up in here. The man in the vision perhaps could be the Philippian jailer that sets in motion an opportunity for Paul to have a magnified impact. Oh God, I'm preaching up in here. So instead of running to the trouble, you run from the trouble. But you got to learn how to run to the trouble. My Bible says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to stand up against it. Look at your neighbor and say, run to hell, baby. Run right into it. The church has been running from what God has ordained you to run into. Oh God. Because we're not serious. We want it, but not really. Not really. We want it, but not really. As soon as your shackle fall off, you out. As soon as you get yours, you done. I got my blessing, I'm finished. Blessing wasn't for you. It's for the person that's about to end their life and end their purpose and end their destiny, saying, how do I get out of this mess? Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, don't run, baby, don't run. Don't run from it, run to it, run to it. The jailer is saying to him, our translations are not that good. What must I do to be saved? That sounds good. What he's really saying is, how do I get out of this mess? The jailer is not thinking about salvation in Jesus Christ. Think about it for a second. He's about to die because he thinks all of the prisoners are gone. Huh. Another thing we miss in the text is that Paul is so anointed that he can keep all of the prisoners who are now loose still in the prison. Because watch me now. When you get serious, God doesn't have to deliver you from counterfeits. When God sets you free, he does it publicly with no tricks. You don't hear what I'm saying. And he didn't want all those men to escape just to be put back in the plight that they were in. Because whom the Son sets free is free. Oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. I gotta quit. Is this helping anybody? God doesn't set free from counterfeits. He doesn't use counterfeits to do his work. He's a just God. He's not gonna set you free without going through the right process to do so. You don't hear what I'm saying. No one ran out of the prison. Because I can only imagine Paul saying, stay here, don't move, don't worry about it. I had a vision, there was a man that was calling me, that man's about to show up. I'm about to help him get out this mess. And when I help him get out this mess, he gonna go testify on your behalf and you gonna walk out just like I'm gonna walk out. Oh, I felt that right there. Can you please touch five people and say, you gonna walk out just like I'm gonna walk out. We ain't gotta run out of it, we can walk out of it, baby. We ain't gotta make no haste. We can just walk out with our freedom in hand, with our purpose in front of us. We can walk right out of this mess. Oh, slap somebody a high five and say, God is about to cause you to walk right out of the mess. God, who am I preaching to? You're about to walk out of debt. You're about to walk out of disease. You're about to walk out of sickness. You're about to walk out, God. You're about to walk out of it. Tell me, you don't want to be. Nobody left. I got to hurry up and get to where I need to go. Nobody left because God doesn't want to give you what he desires by way of counterfeit. This is a thing that we have to correct in the body of Christ. No counterfeits. God only does the real deal. So you take the first step, and when you take the first step, oh God, oh God. God begins to cause you to stand perpendicular to your purpose, and then he opens up suddenly. And when he opens up suddenly, you got to be ready for suddenly. Because suddenly produces things that make you want to run and go. But you got to remember the vision. Suddenly opens doors that you might have to not go into. All the doors were open, but they stayed because there was a man that's about to take his life. Watch this now. And he's going to throw himself on a sword because the penalty for having someone escape is death. So he says to Paul, how do I get out of this mess? And Paul says, you're going to walk out of it. He says, we're all here. Hope is not lost. We're going to walk out of it. And Paul has the audacity to tell a man, come on, let's go to your house. The jailer takes him to his house. I'm getting to where I need to go. He takes him to his house. And when he takes him to his house, he throws a party for him. Paul ministered to his whole family. His whole family gets saved. And in the morning, Lord have mercy, he goes to the magistrates. Excuse me. And when he goes to the magistrates, the Bible says they discover that Paul's a Roman. Oh God, I don't hear what I'm saying. That means Paul has certain rights that he did not get, and they violated those rights. Now they got to vindicate him. The enemy has violated some of your rights. Now he's got to vindicate you. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to be vindicated, baby. Oh, glory to God. You can't be vindicated in private. You got to be vindicated in public. Everybody's got to see. Oh, God, everybody's got to see what's about to happen in your life. That's how you get a magnified impact. Slap your neighbor and say, we done found the thief, baby. Yes, we have. And the Bible says, if the thief be found, he's got to return unto you what was stolen and the increase. I dare you to touch five people and say, it's coming back, it's coming back. Everything that was stolen, everything that was lost, everything that wasn't just, it's coming back, it's coming back. But God, who am I preaching to? It's coming back, it's coming back. My health, coming back. My financial victory, coming back. My witty ideas and inventions. I'm gonna close. The magistrates have to make a public apology and set him free. And they set him free. Watch me now. And this begins the process of Paul's magnified impact. So much so, I'm done, that when he gets to Acts 17 and he goes to Thessalonica, the people are so upset and enraged because his reputation has preceded him. your testimony is going to arrive before you do. What? Your testimony is going to show up way before you ever get there, baby. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. And when it gets to Thessalonica, they have a testimony of those that have turned the world upside down, has come here too. And watch me now. When you have magnified impact, not only will your testimony set you free, but it'll set other people free. They went to a young man's house by the name of Jason, and they went looking for Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas was not there, and they took Jason for the night. But after it was all over, they had to let him go. Slap your name and say, God's about to cause you, come on here, to have a testimony that give other people the power to be let go and to be set free. Your family is about to be let go. Your kids is about to be let go. Your grandchildren are about, God, who am I talking to? Oh, God, touch three people and say, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Let my seed go. Let my babies go. Let my husband go. Let my brother go. Let my nephew go. Let them go. Everybody standing on your feet. If I have my voice, I preach you silly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I dare somebody shout, let him go. Oh God, I feel that thing in the spirit. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go from addiction. Let him go from bipolar disorder. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Shut him. Tonight, the anointing for a magnified impact is going to be in this room tonight. But you got to be serious. You got to be serious. I got real serious in 2012. 2012, the Lord came to me and said, Michael, I need you to have courage to let things change. I was so afraid. I was so afraid to let go of what I know. I was so afraid to believe God for a great endeavor. I know y'all think faith comes easy to me, and in some regards it does, but it's hard on me too. And I was so scared. God wants me to believe him for oogle gobs of this and oogle gobs of that, and he wants me to impact systems. And you know how complex the educational system in our country is? And he wants little old me, who is not an educator. I just play one on TV. I don't have the acumen. I don't have the insight of some of the brain power in the rooms that I'm in. But suddenly, and what I'm about to do is about to, what I'm about to do is about to have a magnified impact on a system that hasn't changed in 100 years. That's because I got serious. How serious are you? It's not about you wanting it. We all want it. It's about, will you go through the process? Will you let God take you to new places without your business as usual hat on? Don't know nobody. You got to enter into a new level on a low level. And you get mad and forget that you're on a new level. See, it's easy to get comfortable with where you are. Success is a killer to destiny. I'm successful. What does that look like? What does that mean? Because if you base that on goods and materials, all that could leave you. Market could crash. Fire could happen. Anything could take place, take something from you. But when you get serious about purpose and destiny, God opens up suddenly and suddenly has a magnified impact that gives you a testimony that shows up before you ever show up and has so much power that it sets other people free. See, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I pray tonight that even if you're not here, and I don't even know if we're streaming, I have no idea what the team is doing. If you're not here at 6 o'clock, just lift your hand wherever you are and say, God, please, just bring it. I'm not trying to control you. I'm trying to tell you what to do. If I were you, I would make it my business to try to be in this room. But, you know, it's all good. You got stuff to do, things to do. I get it. I'm just trying to tell you, tonight, there's going to be an anointing in this room for a magnified impact. But you have to be serious. You have to be willing to trust God without a map. You have to be willing to build a boat without a steering wheel. You have to jump out your ship to get to Jesus without any nets. God, it's so good to me. This is so good to me. I pray that this word transcended your understanding, that it brought peace to you. I pray that you realize that you are being set free and let go, but you have to choose to stay in to rescue somebody else. And that will only happen if you're serious. If you're serious. God wants to give you a magnified impact. Father, I thank you for those who have heard this word, that it didn't fall on deaf ears, that it wasn't just another good message, but it had meaning and gave direction. I pray that it was received through revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. God, we need people who are serious to go to affect change in our world. We need disciples of Christ to go into all the world. We have to remove the counterfeits, the posers that know not the Lord, that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. So you're raising up a new prophetic generation, and you're raising them up to go into all the world under a new apostolic reformation. As we move, God, let us move in power so that the world may know your testimony, so that the world may know that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I thank you that you touch every heart in this room, to have a magnified impact for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May He surround you with His favor as with His shield. May His angels encamp themselves round about you and His blood cover you from now until eternity. You know what? I just heard the Lord. I'm sorry. I was trying to dismiss you. Somebody wants to join this church. Listen, the Lord just stopped me. So whoever that is, if God touched your heart and you want to become a part of this ministry, if you want to join this church, go ahead and run down this altar right now. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I hope you ain't leave. I hope you ain't leave early. I'll wait for you if you're here. If you're not, that's all good. Okay, we good? Are they not coming or are they all coming? We good? They are coming, okay. I know I ain't crazy. Come on, man, come on. Come on. Come on, KLC. That's what's up. That's what, look right at him. What's up, what's up? What's the deal? How you doing? What's up, my man? What's going on? I love it when God does things like this and stop and interrupt a whole service for y'all. I love it. I love it. I love it. Listen, I want you to hear me carefully. I want to be your pastor. I want the job. I want God to wake me up in the middle of the night concerning you. I want to pray over your life. I want to speak the word of God over your life correctly. I will never misuse or abuse the word of God or manipulate you with it. I will only preach to you what that Bible says. Your enemies are my enemies. And all of these wonderful people, we got your back. Welcome to the family of Kingdom Life Church. Here's what I want you to do. See that young lady? I want you to go right with her. She's going to give you some information. Come on, church. Thank God.